This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20. Now,
this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the Press Box on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. And a friendly reminder, you can always go to your local app store, download the app, listen to all your favorite programming, including the Press Box, from anywhere in the world. Go to your local app store, search ESPN Houston, download it, or go to Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or you can download that app as well. Search ESPN975 in the search box, and then you get a beautiful, beautiful visual of my man Jake Asman and myself, Nick Sciarra, in studio with Tyler behind the glass. And I guess we'll keep it here with the Deshaun Watson situation. Do you see any benefit for Deshaun Watson to come out and say, you know, and I don't think this will ever happen, but do you think any possible chance that Deshaun Watson says, you know what, after I get through all the civil lawsuit stuff and after the NFL deals with me and maybe serves me a 6, 7, 8, 1 year suspension, whatever the case may be, he's like, you know what, maybe I should stick with this Texan squad. Does it benefit him in any way, shape, or form to stick with the Houston Texans?
I mean, no, I don't think it does. I think there's been too much damage.
Not the Texans. Does it benefit Deshaun?
Just if he gets cleared just to play this year for them?
No, if he goes out and says on the record, yeah, I know I requested a trade, but I want to stay here and I want to be a Houston Texan.
Does it
benefit his career?
No, I don't think it does. I think the best thing for both sides at this point is to just move on. You know, for the Texans, you have to start fresh. You have to just rebuild. I mean, plus the entire fan base is soured on Deshaun Watson. That's the thing. I'm no Texans fan, but plenty of my friends here in the city are.
They're soured.
There are so many people that are just apathetic to Deshaun.
The lyrics thing was a big...
But at the beginning of all this, it was like, you know, we're kind of with Deshaun. You know, we don't like Easterby. We don't like Bill O'Brien. Like, we kind of understand why he wants to go. But the more this played out, the lyric stuff on Twitter, the fact that I was told by someone that his people were filming like a documentary of him this offseason. So when he did get traded, they had like a Watson movie documenting how it all went on unfolded. Like, Deshaun went Hollywood, for lack of a better word here. And I think, you know, the guy that we saw that was drafted, that was donating his cafeteria checks to the you know, staff members at NRG Stadium
during COVID, yeah.
After Hurricane Harvey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
his first game. He donated his first game check. That same guy is long gone. He's still a great player. But I don't think we're talking about the same guy. I think Deshaun Watson was kind of going Hollywood before, you know, the trade request. Then the trade request happens. Then, I mean, forget it. You talk about 22 civil lawsuits on a guy that didn't want to be here anyway. I don't think the situation could be fixed. You know what James Harden said at that press conference? You know, the situation can't be fixed. It actually cannot be fixed. I think the best thing for both sides is go your separate ways. For the Texans, wait until you get clarity on what the suspension is that's coming, or if there's the suspension that's coming, or if the guy's going to be on the exempt list, and then try and trade him and get the most value. Call up every team and say, hey, we're making him available. Make your best offer. Don't do the old DeAndre Hopkins where you jettison him in the middle of the night and there's like 29 teams that had no idea he was even available.
Yeah, that's...
Make sure if you're going to trade Deshaun, and shocker, I think they will at some point, make sure every team knows that the guy's available in a trade so you can try and maximize his value.
And I agree with you. The only reason why I bring it up is because I've actually been higher on Nick Caserio than most, I feel like. I feel like Nick is a guy that understands it. Like, he gets it. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be the best general manager on the planet. I'm not saying he's good because he came from the Patriots. I'm just saying he's a guy that has a level head on his shoulders. And when you look at two particular people, Kyle McNair, actually three, Jack Easterby and Culley, I think Deshaun Watson looks at this situation. And you know what? I'm a product of my surroundings. A part of the reason why I'm not able to excel is because of certain people in the front office and certain coaches. And I don't want to deal with that. So I can understand that. But if you remove names like Jack Easterby or David Culley, I think Deshaun Watson might be more enticed. Now, I don't think so. But I think if you take out the civil lawsuit situation and you say, you know what, I don't want to be traded, and those two guys are not going to be there, obviously Deshaun Watson can't command that, and he can't make any of these guys disappear like that. I think he might look at it in a completely different scenario. He might look at this and say, you know what? I actually have a chance to excel as a player, as opposed to I felt like more of the weight on my shoulders is all on me as opposed to the surrounding team.
I just think it has gotten to a point where even if, you know, he was on board with who the GM was, and even if he was on board with who the head coach was, remember that's how this all started, right? He wanted input. Cal McNair's like, Deshaun, we're going to give you input. And they obviously didn't give him any input. He was upset. He tweeted immediately after the Caserio hire, you know, something along the lines, if I remember, you know, some things never change. I think by now, with the way this has played out, there probably would be a large portion of the Texan fan base that would just say, good riddance. We were 4-12 with you last year. We need to completely start fresh without you.
Yeah,
so even if he said he wanted to come back, I think there'd be a large portion of the fan base that'd be like, bleep you. We don't want you.
Yeah. I hope they didn't think that David Culley was actually going to be able to convince this guy to come back.
Well, there was a large portion of the fan base that thought Eric Bieniemy was the solution here. And to that, I laugh and go, there's no chance that would have made a difference.
No, there's no chance. And I don't think Eric Bieniemy wanted the gig, to be honest with you. I don't think there might be something on record that said he would have come and head coach the Houston Texans. I don't think he wanted that gig.
I think he wants just a gig. Like, the guy can't get a job, and I know it's easy to pile on the Texans, but 13 other teams have interviewed Bieniemy over the last couple of years. The question I have is, why has no one hired him if he's this offensive genius and he's the
guy
that
every team wants? Is he an offensive genius, or do you have Patrick Mahomes?
And Andy Reid is pretty damn good, too.
I mean, is he an offensive genius? Like, I get it. Like, the interview part, like the due process and all that, I'll hear those arguments all day, but you're still talking about a guy.
I was told by someone that Bieniemy in one of his interviews cursed like a sailor. Like, just like, oh, he's around billionaire owners, and when he's interviewing for coaching jobs, he's got quite the potty mouth, which might not be a big deal. You're a football coach, but I guess he kind of scared off maybe some billionaire owners
by swearing.
Well, I guess he wasn't, you know.
I mean, if he was calling the names, okay, well, that's fair.
I don't know if he walked into Cal McNair's office and was like, hey, Cal, you know, you're a bleep, hire me. I don't know if he said that. But I do know that, you know, apparently his interviews weren't exactly, you know, the most quote-unquote football-y professional, whatever the heck that means.
Yeah, and look, it's just difficult for me to sit there and say, you know what, he absolutely deserves a job. He definitely deserves an interview. He definitely deserves a discussion. But you're talking about a guy who's the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, who has Patrick Mahomes, arguably the best or one of the best quarterbacks in the game, and he wants to leave that situation for Houston? Like, no, I don't think so. And I don't know if he's going to, like, and then look at their quarterback situation. Does he look at their quarterbacks now and say, you know what, I have a chance with Taylor? Probably doesn't. I'm pretty sure he doesn't want a situation, too, where he has to redevelop and fill the roster and do everything by himself. So do I think he deserves an opportunity for an interview? Absolutely. But don't be completely sold on a Bieniemy who has one of the best quarterbacks in the game.
Back to the Texans. You want to know how this could actually end up being a positive outlook? The Texans, if they play it right and are bad, and bad enough to actually be the first pick in the draft next year, the Texan job is actually quite attractive. If you have the first pick in the draft, you trade Deshaun Watson for multiple ones, you have salary cap space, and you have expectations being as low as they'll ever be,
yeah,
you can make an argument the Texan job a year from now is actually an attractive job. The thing is David Culley going to be given, you know, more than just 1 year? You'd think yes, but I mean, I guess time will tell.
I think they'd feel bad almost to not at least give him another year.
You would think, but, you know, you look at this job a year from now, it might actually be attractive if there were to be an opening, but could they hire David Culley? And, you know, I guess his biggest fear is probably, you know, am I going to kind of ride it out when we're bad, and then when we're ready to actually turn the corner and win, they're going to replace me with someone else. I guess Cully doesn't really care because he's coaching in the now. He's 60-something years old, and he's finally a head coach. But you know, that's something to think about. The job could actually be pretty attractive here if they end up with the first pick, salary cap space, and trade Deshaun Watson for a bunch of future ones.
Now, a coach who's smart enough to look at that situation and say, you know what, they get some draft picks, they have some assets and stuff like that, but they still have Cully, they still have Jack Easterby. That doesn't turn you off?
The Easterby thing will probably turn off some people. But Nick Caserio has a good reputation around football. You'd have to convince the right coach that he's the right guy. And, you know, maybe that's a big reason why Cully was the guy they picked. They helped Cully pick his staff. I mean, that's been out there through league circles. You know, David Cully basically was very cooperative with whatever the Texans
wanted.
Well,
he wasn't going to go in there and start making demands about his own team. I'm pretty sure his salary is very reasonable. It's probably not incredibly high. He probably didn't come in there with a whole bunch of demands. I was talking to Jerome Solomon of the Houston Chronicle, and he was saying he literally woke his dad up, who was like, I guess, in his 90s or obviously, you know, pretty old. And
his dad just unfortunately passed away.
He did. Man, that's terrible. Yeah. And he said he woke his dad up just to let him know, man, I'm going to be the head coach of the Houston Texans. I'm going to be an NFL head coach. So it would make me feel bad that he didn't at least get another year, because my assumption is the Texans are going to suck not just this upcoming year, but the following year as well. I mean, that's just my assumption. Now, unless Caserio does something to the roster that completely changes your mind or your perception of the team, maybe. Maybe Taylor actually stays healthy for a year. Maybe the guy, Davis, who they signed to a four-year contract, who they drafted, maybe he turns out and does well in the competition. But, man, God, that's got it's got to be a bittersweet situation for Cully. You get this opportunity to be an NFL head coach for the Houston Texans, but at the same time, like, basically nobody believes in you.
And, well, he essentially admitted he took the job because he's one of 32. And I don't blame the guy for taking the job at all. It's just a tough spot to be in, knowing that you're taking over a team that, as we talked about earlier in the show, is not favorited to win a single game this year. Not saying they're going 0-17, but this team is, you know, roster-wise, a borderline franchise expansion level type of team right now. And that's the sad reality for the Texans.
Yeah. Luis Garcia on the mound for the Houston Astros tonight. It's a 7-10 start against the Boston Red Sox. We'll talk about that and more on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN975.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
It looks like Las Vegas wants to get back to normal, Jay Gassman.
Is back?
It's back. And I want to go. I want to go so bad. They're talking about bringing the EDC back. There's a bunch of counties going up to 100%. I think Clark County is one that's getting up to 100% today. So it's going to be fun. And we've had some really, really fun times in Las Vegas, haven't we?
I've seen Nick at his very best in Vegas. And some would say I might have seen him at his very very worst in Vegas.
See, I was going to get to that with you first, because I saw I saw a group of women at a club in Las Vegas that were all about Jay Gassman. And I wish Tyler was there to witness this. Now, am I making up lies here on the air? Do you remember Club Dre?
We went to a bunch of different spots.
The one where that dude Preston fell on the back of his head.
Oh my, that was a very scary situation. we had a table at I think it was Dre's Beach Club, it's called.
Yeah.
And you know, Preston, good dude, works in radio out in Los Angeles, hanging out with us, and he had like the connection to get us in.
Yeah.
He starts dancing on like a high rise table and he slipped right back, and yeah. I thought he died. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. I thought he died, and I felt this was going to be one of those like horror stories you see on the news.
Yeah.
Like, guy at a club slips and dies. And thankfully, he was okay. And, you know, I just that night was scary. Because yeah. I just remember him falling, and I thought we lost a member of the family.
I know. We were very concerned, and I remember they were all checking on him. This is actually the story I told not too long ago. I think last week with Joel, and I was talking about how in clubs in Vegas, if you fall or something like that, they want to make sure that you sign something saying that you're okay. Because he kept on saying he was okay. And they're like, well, if you're okay, you need to sign something saying that you're okay. Because that's how they roll in these Vegas.
Yeah, they don't want you to hire a Rusty Harden or Tony Busby and sue him up the kazoo.
Exactly. So it was not a good night for him, but it was a really good night because I remember we were at this table and then these group of ladies pull up and they make a wide turn. Like, there's so many ladies in this line that it literally wrapped around our table. It was like eight of them. It was a good night for you. It just wasn't a good night for Preston.
Yeah, Preston had a tough one, but, you know, just like a baseball lineup, some nights a guy goes 0-for-3, but you still win the game because the rest of the lineup produced, you know. The rest of the group was able to get it done that night. We hit with runners on base.
Are you going
to
reveal any of the details of what you did that night?
No? I'd prefer not to, but, okay. You know, if they invite me back and have me continue to host here, filling in, you know, maybe that could come up another time.
That's what you're going to do?
I'm gonna bribe management here with some Vegas stories.
Fair enough.
In exchange for some more filling.
I just want people to know it was a long line of ladies that were wrapped around the table. These are not lies.
Tons of women. You know, big ESPN 97.5 listeners out in Vegas as well.
All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get to this Astros game. Luis Garcia on the mound. Any thoughts initially on that? We talked a little bit about the rotation. We talked about the bullpen and how it's been suffering. I think they started a 9-game homestand going back to the series with the Dodgers. I believe they're 3-3. Up until this point, three more games left before they go on a road trip. Any initial thoughts on the Luis Garcia situation and his trip to the mound today?
Yeah, you look at the Astros and it's an opportunity to, you know, continue this winning streak, right? You won two in a row after you nearly got swept over the weekend, and if you win tonight, you know, you're looking at this Red Sox team, and you know, this is a litmus test type of series for the Astros here, because you look at the Astros and they're a game out of a half game, not even a full game, out of first place out west. You look at the Red Sox, they've been one of the more surprised teams in Major League Baseball this year. They entered today's game at 32-21, just two games behind the Rays, who have just been, you know, just on a fire. 16 of 17 they've won. So you're playing one of the better teams in the American League. And, you know, if you win tonight, you start thinking about, you know, maybe sweeping the rest of the series here. And if you're the Astros, you're now a third of the way through the season. You're adding Yuli, you're adding Alvarez back to the lineup.
They're
tonight.
Back in the lineup.
I mean, you know, this is a team that already had a really good offense. This is a team that put up 11 runs yesterday. You want to see this team tonight build on it and see if they can get, you know, their third straight win and two straight over a very good Boston team.
Good. No, that's great. I just want to see a situation where Dusty kind of, I feel like sometimes he leaves these pitchers out there a little bit too long. And I know that's kind of his style. But do you feel like Dusty kind of gives too much of a leash to some of these pitchers and situations? Or do you just think, you know, that's kind of his old school mentality? That's kind of what he does. It's okay.
I don't think he trusts his bullpen at all. I think that's a lot of it. I mean, you know, overall, I think you could nitpick some things that Dusty has done. But given the situation he was inheriting, he has been the perfect manager for the situation that he stepped into. So while we could go into the day-to-day, you know, minutia of Dusty, and I'm not watching, you know, every Astro game every night like you guys are, obviously, you know, covering the team up close on the local side. When you watch the Astros, they have so many good players that have not regressed, that continue to play well. In a league in which no one's hitting, the Astros have one of the best offenses in the sport. And Dusty's doing the best he has with a very limited bullpen, as we all know. So you can nitpick some things he's done. I could question over the weekend, you know, the inability for some of his guys to lay down a damn bunt and extra innings. And sometimes Dusty gets too cute with the small ball in certain spots. All that's fair. But I think overall, I mean, if you look big picture, Dusty's been the perfect manager for this team stepping into the role.
Oh, especially coming off of the scandal, because if there's any situation where you're going to hire a manager coming off of a massive scandal like that, you don't want that guy to be a big hoorah guy that yells. You don't want that guy that wants to go in there and start changing everything, especially when you're still talking World Series champions and these guys that are really, really good players and Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman. I mean, their core is still really, really good. Unfortunate situation with Justin Verlander not being able to pitch. But I think you look at the scandal and how much of a blowback they've been able to get from fans and stuff like that. The last thing you need is a manager that is way too vocal and is a super hoorah guy. That's the opposite for Dusty. Dusty is not that guy. And I think they don't want to. I don't think they want him to leave. And I think that's a part of the reason why Crane was really quick to give him that extension in the middle of the first season.
Well, it also just shows you too, though, that sometimes, you know, going all analytics and, oh, we got to bring in these new school managers, that's not always
not
always the right answer. Like Dusty Baker would not have had this job had the Astros not cheated in 2017 and got caught. Like, it took that for him to get this opportunity. And it just shows you Dusty Baker still should have been managing in Major League Baseball, so he should not have even been available for Houston to hire in the first place.
Well, he thought he was done.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, the way the game's going, you couldn't blame him for thinking that way. But there's a guy out there right now, Buck Showalter. Why is he not managing? Buck Showalter is as smart of a baseball guy as I've ever heard. You hear Buck talk about Major League Baseball on the MLB Network or, you know, doing some Yankee games on the YES Network. The guy is brilliant, but he doesn't have a job because, oh, well, you know, he's an older guy. He can't adapt with the times. You know, it just shows you. You know, sometimes shove your analytics right up your rear end and hire the best guy for the job. Because ultimately, you don't always need to be, you know, launch angle and analytics and, oh, this and that. The Astros don't strike out. They put the ball in play. They don't need to swing out of their tuchus to hit a home run. They play the game really well. And I mentioned this earlier in the show, Nick. They've kind of become an old school team because they do something crazy. And that's called actually put the ball in play instead of just strike out a bunch of times and, you know, just wait for the mistake pitch to you know, hit a home run with.
No, they look more aggressive when they do that. And I am kind of with you with Showalter. He is 65 years of age, so it does kind of make you wonder. I think Dusty's a little bit older than him. But you're right. I can see why the Astros wouldn't hire someone like Showalter. But you're right. Just managing in baseball in general, yeah, I can see some other teams that could probably take a look at him and say, you know what, this guy would be a good manager. And I'm okay with a guy who is not necessarily coming from that analytics branch or that analytics part of, you know, like if you want to mix it up, that's fine. An old school like guy, get a whole bunch of guys who are a bunch of analytics dorks and have them provide information to your manager and just kind of mix the two. You know what I mean?
But that makes too much sense for these teams to do. And that's the problem. Like there's no rule that having too much information is a bad thing. I'm not anti-analytics.
Of course.
But I'm anti only using numbers to make your decisions. It's maddening. It's like, you know, you go back to A.J. Hinch in Game 7 of the World Series a couple of years ago. You don't need to pull out, you know, Zach Greinke to go to Will Harris because you like the matchup. Like, the eyeball test told you Will Harris was shot. He didn't have enough left in the tank to finish Game 7 of the World Series. And if you were going to pull Greinke, who was dealing in that game, then give the ball to Gerrit Cole, not to Will Harris, who told you he was exhausted going into that game. And, like, that's where it's like, if you only use the numbers and make your decision on that and you don't manage with feel and gut, it's going to backfire. And that particular move might have been the ultimate backfire in regards to, you know, analytics. And, you know, I don't need to remind all 7 Tampa Bay Rays fans what happened in the World Series last year when, you know, Kevin Cash got all cute and took Blake Snell out when he was dominating through 6 innings against the Dodgers. They yank him. In comes the reliever. Rays bullpen blows the game. Dodgers win the World Series. It's crazy.
You talk about ultimate backfire, and then you look at the ramifications of those, either A, that pitcher not getting in the game, or B, that pitcher getting pulled, and now neither of those guys are with those teams, and that happened the offseason following those moves, or not moves, non-moves. So,
yeah. I mean, I do appreciate the mix factor, but you're right. It probably does make too much sense for these players. And you know what? If Dusty was in that situation where you were talking about the Will Harris example, he would have probably gone with the eye test and said, you know what? You look tired, buddy. You know what I mean? I probably, you know, he might have done that.
He might have said, you know what? If I'm going to take Zach Greinke out, let me replace him with Gerrit Cole, who is not coming back next year. So I don't care if I lose him too many times.
Yeah, that part aggravated
me. But that's the thing. Going back to those ramifications, say Gerrit Cole does get put in that situation, he wins a World Series. You don't think he maybe takes a little bit of a discount to stay with the Astros to try and run it back?
I mean, I'm not sure. How much are we talking? The Yankees offered him $300.
I'm not sure.
I mean, I understand. I get that. And, like, yes, that's, like, his team as a kid that he's always wanted to play for. But here's what I think. Like, little things like that can change the scope of how a person thinks.
Right. I mean, woulda, coulda, shoulda, we obviously can't tell now, but what I think your point, that would have increased his chances of remaining in Houston, but I don't think he would have stayed. You talk about the picture that they had when he was a Yankees fan, the fact that he's always wanted to be a Yankee, and then just the sheer numbers that you get at New York.
Look, growing up in New York, I could tell you, like, love Gerrit Cole. He's been a great Yankee so far. But the reality is, as cool as it is that, you know, he had the sign at game, you know, 7 of the World Series in 2001, and he grew up a big Yankees fan, and he got drafted by the Yankees but chose to go to UCLA. All that. At the end of the day, they paid him the most money by far, and that's why he went there. At the end of the day, money talks. That's why Gerrit Cole went to the Yankees over any other team.
Full disclosure, I'll say on record, and I've said it before, he still probably would have. Like, if you put Gerrit Cole back in that situation instead of, I guess, Will Harris, and they actually win a World Series, again, it increases your chances to keep him. But now you got two World Series rings, and you can just go back to a team that you always wanted to play for and make more money.
And also, maybe the biggest point, you know, you can't discredit 2017 as much if you're an Astro fan. If you could just say, oh, yeah, well, MLB said we didn't cheat in 2019 and we won a ring. Instead, now you have every baseball fan outside of the city still questioning the validity of that 2017 title.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, more on the press box. Maybe a little bit more on the Astros coming back. But it's Jake, it's Nick, no Joel. He'll be back tomorrow. The Blitz at 4 o'clock. Tyler behind the glass, 713-780-3776. We want to hear from you if you want to participate. All that more on the press box. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 97.5. No Joel Blank today, but he'll be back tomorrow. We miss him and we love him, and he'll be back tomorrow. 713-780-3776. But today we've got the great Jake Asman filling in, Tyler behind the glass, Nick Sciarra as well, each and every day. Now, I want to get into the – I know I teased the Astros a little bit, but I want to get into this Kyrie Irving situation. What is this deal going on to the court and stepping on their logo? They call him Lucky the Leprechaun. After the game, I guess a fan threw a water bottle at him. And from the outside looking in, it looks like that is what initiate, or, you know, made him react and walk to the to midcourt and step on Lucky the Leprechaun.
No, other way around. So he stepped on the logo coming off and then went back and went to the tunnel. And that's where the water bottle chucked.
Really?
Came
so
from.
It was, oh, okay. I thought it was the other way around.
But here's what I don't think really matters here. I don't think the fan that chucked the water bottle, the jack wagon that did that, I don't think that fan knew that Kyrie did the thing on the logo.
Okay.
Like, I don't think the two are related at all. I think it's two separate conversations here. One being, and the first one's real easy to have. The fan that chucked the water bottle should be banned for life, should never be allowed to go to the TD Garden, and the Boston Police Department has arrested him, and they're pressing charges. And I think I read that if he's convicted, he could face up to 10 years in prison for chucking that water bottle. Now, do I think he's going to get 10 years for that? No,
probably not.
But, you know, talk about sending a message, locking up a 21-year-old, you know, kid for 10 years for chucking a bottle. The logo stomp, though, that to me is the real debate here. You know, should you know, Celtics fans, and should Kevin Garnett and Big Baby Davis, who commented on what Kyrie did with the logo, should they be upset that Kyrie stomped on the logo? Is that a sign of disrespect? You know, that's the question. Obviously, no one in their right mind is going to condone a fan chucking a water bottle at a professional athlete.
100%. I didn't know that, but I think it helps my case even more, because merely my whole issue is him stepping on the logo more than anything else. Now, the throwing at the bottle part is really dangerous, because now you're talking about a situation that can really, really hurt you, especially even if it's a quarter full. You never know how that water bottle is going to land. The popcorn thing is slightly different, but I still think a person throwing popcorn should be banned, too. I don't like that person either.
They all should be banned. But I mean,
a lot of people were disagreeing with me, and I think Joel agreed with me, about the popcorn situation, because everybody thought, well, Westbrook is just being a baby and blah, blah, blah. Maybe you make that argument, but even though popcorn is not going to do anything and Westbrook makes millions of dollars, it doesn't mean it's okay in my eyes.
He's not a zoo animal. I mean, what are we doing here? Hey, anyone that is defending the fan pouring popcorn on Russell Westbrook, you're an idiot. There's no other way to say it. You're an idiot. These guys aren't zoo animals, and I'm not the biggest Russ fan. I despise Kyrie Irving. But you shouldn't be able to chuck things at these guys. You know, I'm a Knicks fan. The idiot Knicks fan sitting in front of 50 Cent that tried to spit at Trae Young, he should be banned for life.
Oh, that guy's an idiot.
Yeah, like spitting at somebody is terrible.
Like, what are we doing here?
If you're going to get mad at somebody pouring popcorn on a player, okay, like, it's popcorn. It's not harming anyone.
So he's on that side.
I'm not. No, I'm on the side that it's popcorn and it's light. It will do no damage to you.
You don't get to pour it on an athlete, though.
Okay, then at the game, at the Astros game yesterday, they show a compilation video of Orbit doing Orbit things, and he's walking down a rail on the upper deck, and he's literally pouring popcorn on the people below him. So
whoa.
He shouldn't be
a mascot at a game.
Okay,
and that's probably staged.
Yeah, but all those people down below him.
And Westbrook was injured coming off the court, and a fan chucked popcorn.
It's popcorn.
Look, I'm not saying
that's fine.
I'm not saying Westbrook, you know, is going to be emotionally disturbed for the rest of his life because he got hit with some popcorn.
Ban the fan. Yeah, the fan should not be allowed to go to games.
Westbrook should have been allowed to attack the guy that dumped the popcorn on him. That would stop this. You know,
they should have fought at half court.
Let's say Ron Artest was ahead of his time. All right, the malice at the palace. You know, in hindsight, Ron Artest had the right idea trying to fight the guy that looked like Turtle from Entourage. I'm just saying.
Look, I love how he's pumped up. And you're pretty pumped up. We can't hear you. Or can I hear you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I turned my mic off accidentally.
Okay.
Don't dead name Ron. His name's Meta World Peace.
Sorry. Well, at the time, he was Ron Artest.
Well, yeah, you're true.
Look, at the end of the day, I feel like you shouldn't be able to do that. Now, giving
is
Westbrook,
this really a debate though? At the
but giving Westbrook the leash to attack somebody? No.
Okay.
No.
A little that's hyperbole on my
sure,
part.
Sure.
Yes.
Right. And I figured that's what it was. But I'm just saying, nobody should be able to throw popcorn on you just because you make $45 million a year.
No, these guys are not zoo animals. Going to a sporting event gives you a right to boo, heckle. I'm all for it. But you don't get a right. You don't have a right as a fan to chuck things, to spit at athletes, to treat these guys like they're zoo animals. Yeah. You respect the game.
Well, the spit part is significantly worse than Ben.
Agreed.
I mean, if you spit on me, I'd be way more angry. Like if you threw popcorn at me, I'm not gonna say I'm gonna for sure punch
you
in the face.
So if you spit on a guy, then you'll allow the athlete that got spit on to go in the crowd and beat the crap out of the guy that
no.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, that's
where we
happened.
Draw the line.
I'm not gonna say this. I'm not gonna go on in public and say, okay, you're allowed to go punch that guy. But in the event that he did, I may not be as harsh when it comes down to punishment. You get what I'm saying? When it comes down to fines and stuff like that, I might show a little bit of leeway because he just got spat on right in the middle of the pandemic. Okay. Look, I'm big on the COVID discussion, but at the end of the day, that might be a way you can get COVID. Like you're spitting on somebody, dude. Like that's not cool. So, I mean, I would just say I would look back at that situation and say, you know what? You shouldn't have punched a fan, but because you did, because he spat on you, we might look at the fines and the suspensions a little bit differently. That's what I would have done.
Now, I don't think we'll ever get to a point where a player goes in the stands and we have, you know, a repeat of, you know, the malice in the palace. But I'm telling you, if Trae Young was allowed to pop the guy that tried to spit at him in the face, that would stop real quick. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out
there.
I think
it could be. And look, these security guards are getting better. Did you see that tackle? Was it last night or the night before where the fan tried to run on the court and just tackled his ass before he even got to the court?
I saw that. Well, there was also an incident in the Nationals game a couple nights ago where a streaker ran onto the field during like a rain delay and started sliding on the tarp. And the security guy, I mean, talk about an uncomfortable situation. It's now his job to bring down a streaker who is bare butt naked running around, you know, Nationals Park.
What if he had to go for the takedown? Because you got to go low for the takedown.
Well, he ran into like the tube that the tarp was rolled up on.
Okay.
So he was like kind of hiding in there for a few minutes. And then they finally, like, I guess they coerced him to get it out. But
that's hilarious. Like, That is hilarious. But the basketball guy, he was just being an idiot. He came from the stands and then he jumped to hit the backboard once. And then he got
booed by Wizards fans. Like when your own fan base is booing you running on the court, maybe you shouldn't run on the court, buddy.
Because not every fan condones stuff like that.
No, because these guys are morons. I love a good guy running on the field every once in a while. You know, I get a kick out of it sometimes. I won't lie to you. But there's a big difference in doing that and then spitting at an athlete, dumping popcorn on an athlete, trying to throw a water bottle at an athlete. Like, that's where we go way too far with all this and where that just can't be allowed. These guys need to learn. And, you know, I don't know what you do other than continue to ban these guys and, you know, obviously, when appropriate, arrest them and charge them and have them deal with that headache because, you know, I mean, is this going to just keep happening here throughout the playoffs?
Every night
there's a new incident?
You know what? There might be somebody out there. Hey, at tonight's Astros game, I'll pay you X amount of dollars if you jump on the field and start streaking and stuff like that. Like, okay, let's take the fact that you're a big radio star. Let's take the Jake Asman show out of it, right? You're not in media, right? How much money would it take for you to run on the field naked?
Ooh.
$100.
Way more.
I'm offering $100.
Way more.
$500.
More.
$1,000.
Well, you out of your mind? $1,000. I mean, let's start.
There's some people that want to spend money because they're just stupid and they have a lot of money.
$1,000. A couple G's minimal. I mean,
a couple of G's. That's all it will take for Jake Asman to run naked on
an anime. At least five figures.
Well, it's going to cost more than that. But I'm saying, when you started at $100, that's insulting. You think you think my body's only worth $100? Are you out of your mind?
I'm just saying. I just wanted to know how low you would go, to be honest with you. But here's the deal. $2,000 might be low, considering the charges that you might get piled on.
And also, you
got to cover Rusty Harden's lawyer fees. Well, not Rusty Harden's, like maybe a worse lawyer.
You're just getting time served at that point. Like, you're going to be in jail for maybe a day, and then you get let out. Like,
so you're still making a profit at $2,000, you think?
I mean, if you don't do any harm to a player while you're on the field, then there's probably not going to be any kind of...
Are you speaking from experience here, Tyler?
No. But, I mean, you could actually catch a charge, like an indecent exposure type deal. You might have to register as a sex offender or something like that. That could probably be a little bit more harsher punishment.
That would be. I think you went a little low, Jake Asman. I think 2,000
is very low.
I think it's way too low. I need way more than that.
Yeah. Is 10 G's too? Well, see, the indecency, I don't know anything about.
Too low. You're staking your professional reputation on this. A Google search of your name forever links you to the story. Good luck ever trying to find another job.
Really?
Something like that.
Yeah. People forget about that stuff.
Do they, though? I mean, I don't know.
There's still a story out there. One guy hopped in. And then he made it all the way to center field, and somehow he made like a miraculous jump from Towels Hill and the wall to the batter's eye, climbed up, and then booked it out of the center field doors, got away clean.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
And for every scenario where that actually happens, there's like 1,000 that don't get away with it and get caught, get arrested, and their professional livelihood is forever changed.
I was going to say 10,000, but from what I've seen from like headlines in terms of like lawyer fees, I'm not even sure 10,000 is enough for me. I think I would need at least $20,000 if I'm not a part of media to run on the field naked. I'll just let it swing and bang. Won't care. Would not care for $20,000.
That's
not
it.
You just said two, sir.
No. I said two was too low. I don't know what the number is. I'm gonna have to think about this, but it's gonna be way more than $20,000. That's not worth it. I need life changing money if I'm gonna do that.
All right, we'll wrap it up on the press box. It's Nick. It's Jake. It's ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
No Joel Blank today. It's just myself, Nick Sciarra, and Jake Asman. Although Joel Blank did make an appearance in the Twitch and said hi. So we shout out to Blankers. I don't know if he's still listening. But the final segment, it's been fun, Jake. It's been fun. It's been a really quick 3-hour show, pretty much. I mean, it's been really, really fast. I felt like it's been only an hour.
Now, be honest. If the show was terrible, you wouldn't tell me, though. You'd be like, oh, yeah, good job. See you later.
Not on the air.
Not yet.
But behind closed doors, I'm like, bro, yeah, I kind of sucked today.
Pick it up. I mean, this is garbage.
Yeah, this is hot garbage. Hot garbage. $2,000, you said, you would take to run naked in Minute Maid Park and get tackled.
Lies.
Is the number. What did we agree on?
This is not true. The number was over $1 million. Need life-changing money if I'm ever going to do such a thing.
Who's going to offer you seven figures, bro?
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you. I said this off-air to the Twitch people. I am not getting tackled naked by a bunch of dudes I don't know in security. Like, I need life-changing money if I'm doing that. $2,000 is nice, but that is not life-changing money to put my professional livelihood on the line and streak naked at an Astros game.
Now, I thought of an idea that I thought I was genius and original about, but clearly I'm not, to deter some of these guys that want to be a part of the show, run on the field, do stuff like that. But then you mentioned to me Taylor Swift had some sort of like facial recognition software because people like to stalk her. So basically what I thought was, you create a profile like on these little apps where you have a picture of yourself, first name, last name. Look, I don't know the legality of that. That might be illegal or whatever. But there's a profile of you. So if you want to purchase tickets on an app, you create a profile like you would normally. You scan in the event you're one of those idiots. At least that's documented, and they have that in an archive somewhere. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
But I had no idea about Taylor Swift with the whole facial recognition thing. That's interesting to me.
So Tuesday Texter wrote in, how do fans that get banned, actually get banned if they show up and they try and go to the game? Like, how would the person checking the tickets at the front, know whether or not you're banned? And it's a great question. I'm sure there's a way where plenty of people that are banned end up going back to sporting events. But what Taylor Swift does, she pays out of pocket at all her concerts to have facial recognition software be implemented. So if you're on the ban list, you're not getting into the venue that night because Taylor Swift won't allow you to come in because she's paying out of pocket for all these arenas and stadiums to use that software. And I think ultimately that's kind of where we're going. So I think we're going to see that more and more in sports, that as we kind of progress technological-wise, we're going to see that become more the norm at sporting events going forward.
I mean, every ticket's basically digital now anyway. Like, but does, you can't pay cash for a ticket. Like, you got to use your app. So they can just go back to – they look at security cameras. Okay, this fan was in this area. We'll find out the exact seat that they were sitting in. And then, okay, well, this person scanned in that seat. So it's that person or somebody that they know.
Yeah, and the other thing that you can do is that person that's running out on the court or on the field, there's obviously cameras everywhere, so you know where exactly that person might be sitting. You know what
Exactly.
I mean? So you can, and you can just reference it that way. So I didn't know that. I didn't know. God, there's a bunch of stalkers out there. There's some weirdos out there.
Well,
dude.
Think about Taylor Swift and how many stalkers are coming after her. I mean, my God.
And she's fortunate enough to have them. Not every performer could probably afford facial recognition software.
Well, it depends how big of a performer you are. I mean, if you're at the level of Taylor Swift, obviously you're good.
But there's a lot of internet famous people that are not making that paycheck. I mean, there's a lot of bunch of musicians. You think they're absolute multimillionaires, particularly in the rap industry. You see this a lot. Sometimes they sign a multi-year deal for seven figures.
They're have stalkers, though, these rappers? I mean...
Probably. I'm probably not as many as Taylor. I mean, that makes sense.
Probably not.
You know?
I'd imagine. I've never seen Taylor Swift live. I hope to, at some point, change that.
So you're a Taylor fan. So that's another thing that we have in common. Because most of the time, I get the heat for saying Taylor Swift is pretty and attractive. And
I like her music. I'm not even talking about her looks. I'm a big fan of her as a musical talent, Nick Sciarra.
So you don't think she's pretty either?
I think she's very pretty, but I like her for her music.
Not for her prettiness.
I mean, it doesn't hurt, but that's not the reason why I like her.
She has some really good. I'm not even trying to make fun. Her songs are produced very, very well. I mean, she has a good voice and she sings. So, I mean, no.
Very few artists put out as many hits as she does. Like, you just got to, at some point, you just got to tip your cap and just respect greatness when you're doing something that good consistently.
Yeah. So $1 million is the official number, huh?
At least. I'm staking my professional liability to run around.
I asked for a price of a car. You're asking for seven figures. I said 20
the
grand.
The car is nice, but if you can't ever get a job again, you're kind of screwed.
Again, you're looking into that too much. You think they're going to just Google Jake Asman and your life is over.
Look, I don't know about this place, but at most companies, you have background checks. This comes up. If you go streaking and get arrested after doing that at an Astros game, you best believe anytime you apply for a job and you have to check off boxes, have you ever been arrested and this and that on all the online forums, there's people that are paid to look into this stuff. And the last thing I would want is that coming up on my record for the rest of my life, and I only got a car out of it. That's it. I need life-changing money so I could retire.
Agreed.
If I'm doing that.
No, you're right. I've done well to, as crazy as I am, to keep my record clean. I'm not in trouble. So the Astros beat the Red Sox 11-2 on Memorial Day. Luis Garcia on the mound. And you know what? Again, I'll say this again. I think if you get four or five innings out of the guy, I'm okay. Four, maybe five innings. Hopefully he doesn't allow too many runs. I think you did your job if you're Luis Garcia, Jake.
He's pitched well. I think if you're Garcia, you're Goldeneye, keep the Astros in the game and let the bats roll. The problem for the Astros this year is not their offense. You feel like if Garcia could get you through six and allow three or less runs, quality start, you'll take that every time. I mean, this is a team that's now getting back. If you're just tuning in, Yuli to the lineup tonight. Yordan Alvarez is back tonight off the injured list. So this is an Astros team that's near full strength. Obviously, we're still awaiting on Brantley to come back from the injured list as well. But scoring runs is not a problem for this team. They put up 11 the other day. Kyle Tucker had, his best game of the young season with, you know, a season best three hits and four RBIs.
I don't know if he'll have that game again. I mean, look, they put up 11 runs on Memorial Day without those guys.
And before that, they had 7 runs on Sunday. They put up 8 runs on Saturday. You know, they've been swinging the bat. That has not been a problem for them this year.
Oh, yeah, even in the losses, like on Friday against the Padres, what did they have, like 8 runs? I mean, they're offensively proven. I mean, that doesn't change anything. So it's really good to see Alvarez, because he had that leg soreness, and that obviously was a scary situation considering the history that we know about his knees. And then Gurriel just playing his ass off. And I feel like he knows what he's doing. Like, he's not necessarily always going for the home run. He just wants to get that ball in play, a statistic that you've brought up multiple times throughout the show. And I love that style of play from Gurriel. I really want him to continue to hit the ball like that, because it just makes it more fun to watch too. Not only just because he's able to get on base all the time, but he's just, from an offensive standpoint, it's just a really fun game to watch. So what is that, a 7-10? Yeah, I think a 7-10 start.
7-10 first pitch at the Juice Box. I mean, you're getting back two guys to this lineup, and Alvarez, who's hitting 310, and Yuli, who's hitting 309. You're getting you know, two 300 hitters you're putting back in the lineup.
Is Brantley even on the IL, though? I haven't seen anything that he actually got put on the IL yet.
So he's still, I guess
he's still just day-to-day, I guess.
Which, by the way, pet peeve when I hear someone's day-to-day. Aren't we all?
It's a bad sign.
Oh, aren't we all day-to-day? I mean, I'm day-to-day.
Existential honesty.
I'm just saying. You know, some final thoughts here to wrap up the show before we hand it off to, you know, the Blitz. I mean,
the Blitz.
We kind of are all day-to-day. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's kind of the truth. Kind of the truth, man. Well, and I forgot my train of thought. I was going to go somewhere next, and I forgot. But... yeah, I mean, look, I just want him to get 4 or 5 innings, and if you can do that without any craziness happening, I think the Astros are in good shape, even against this Boston Red Sox team.
Oh, no, my mistake. Sorry to interrupt. Brantley did get placed on the IL the 28th on
Okay,
Friday.
So that's why he's not in the game. So that's why when they made the report that he's returning, it was just that Alvarez and Yuli were the only two that were returning. So, yeah. No, that's good. That's good, man. What did you think? Is this the first time we've ever done a show together
Nick, so for those who don't know, which is probably everyone listening, Nick was my very first radio producer when I moved to Houston years ago at the time, SB Nation Radio. So we've come a long way from producer and host relationship to friends to people that have been belligerent in Vegas together to hosting our first show here in Houston.
We've seen some crazy things. We've seen some. Now, you've officially been in Houston or living in Houston for 3 years, you say?
3 years this summer, which is wild to think. I thought Nick, when I first met him, was 25, 26, and he's telling me, you know, people like you, people around your age, you know, you're going to want to go over here.
You always reference that.
And I'm like, people your age, like, how old are you? Like, you can't be that much older than me. And you're like, oh, I'm like 34.
I'm 38 now.
Or 35, I guess.
That was when
living.
I first met. I guess I was 34 or 35 when I
was
first...
like, what? You don't look like you're that old at all. You look like you're in your mid-20s.
I appreciate that, homie. I appreciate that. It's been really, really fun. Again, when can we hear Jake Asman before we go to break on Sports Map Radio?
Weekdays, 8 to 10 in the morning on, as you said, Nick, Sports Map Radio.
You got it. More on the Astros, the Texans, and a whole bunch of other stuff on the Blitz. It's Fred. It's AJ. Up next from 4 to 7 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Thank you, everybody.
Home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQBar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.